This is The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle Sound Voices, Sound Stories. I'm Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. By the way, any reactions to what you just heard about facial recognition software in schools? Tweet at us at KUOW. Anytime you hear something and you'd like to let us know what you think about it, tweet at us. And Bree Ripley's in the studio monitoring social media for us. Speaking of which, cracks began to appear in Facebook's notoriously secret facade after word broke that a researcher they used shared user information and passed it on to a political research company, Cambridge Analytica. There's evidence that Facebook user information was accessed from Russia and from other countries. Well, now Facebook is offering another research organization a million, that's with an M, gigabytes of user data to be used to study Facebook's role in society. Here to explain how your data will be used, Karen Wise of Bloomberg Tech, who's written about this. Karen, thank you so much for stopping by.
Sure.
So what is this information on users that Facebook will be sharing?
Sure. So Facebook has, after this big Cambridge Analytica scandal that you talked about, they agreed to kind of engage with academic researchers in a way they haven't before to study how social media affects elections, essentially, initially. And so they have agreed to give anonymized data to this independent research organization that will then do all the academic research process stuff to figure out which researchers should be able to use it and then publish academic papers out of it.
Okay, it's anonymized, so they won't know it's Ross Reynolds' Facebook, but what will they know?
So the first huge data set, this petabyte of data, is based about around URLs, so individual websites that people share on Facebook, and it will, on an aggregate level, for each URL that's been shared more than, I think it was about 20 times, we'll have information about the demographics of users who have clicked on it, the emotions when you click like a little, how many people do the heart versus the, you know, happy face emoji when with a story, if they click on it, if they click on the story, if they share the story, if they comment on the story, if the story is true or false, if it's been rated that way from fact checkers. And the goal of this huge data set is to understand how misinformation is shared and spread and how what kind of impact that could have on elections.
Now, this didn't work out so well last time when it shared it with a researcher. It ended up being involved in the influencing of the American election. What's different now about the sharing of this information?
Sure. So the way the researcher in the past got this information was actually sort of through a back door. Facebook historically has not been relatively reluctant to share its own data with academic researchers. It has done so, but it does so in a limited way and in a way that it retains a lot of control because it's nervous about its data. So what the Cambridge Analytica scandal happened was this guy used a third-party app to pull data with, in theory, consent, though obviously not as people
right.
didn't quite realize. So what is different about this is officially sanctioned through Facebook, and it's run through this new group called Social Science One, which is run by a Harvard and a Stanford professor.
That's the researcher that's getting the information.
Yeah, so they are basically pooling this information. They're working with about a dozen different committees of very respected academics to figure out what type of questions they want to know out of Facebook's data. And then they're putting these public RFPs for academics that have to go through their own institutional review boards to get approval for the research. They're doing peer review studies on it to figure out who should get the data, and then they are going to publish on the data too.
So I hear you saying there's more controls, so we shouldn't be worried about this information being misappropriated?
They say, this is all new, so they're developing new systems to do some of this, is that the data will be sequestered in a way where they can literally track every keystroke and every moment of interaction the researchers will have with the data. And Gary King, who's the Harvard professor that was kind of spearheaded this, told me that he knows that if they have one breach, they're done. So they are, to say they're obsessed with the security component of this would be an understatement.
They say, Karen Wise, you know more about this than most of us. Are you concerned personally? Are you on Facebook, first of all?
I am on Facebook.
Okay.
Yes. And I do believe that this is a positive thing. And the reason I say that in general, in that Facebook has tremendous influence on society, on humans, on human interaction, and it's generally been this black box. And so people have had to do all these workarounds to understand how Facebook is impacting so many things and our lives and our happiness and all of this. And so a thing that is unique about this is it gives researchers the ability to get access to the original data and then to publish without any restrictions once they find their conclusions. And in the past, the only researchers who had been able to get access to the data had to basically give Facebook pre-approval on publication. And that then raises all these questions about selection bias on the researchers, on what they choose to study, on the topics. And we really need to understand so much more about how social media is impacting our lives as individuals and society. So the reason I think this is positive is it's them opening up to external scrutiny in a way they have been hesitant to do before. That said, from a privacy perspective, the onus is on them to prove that they're going to do it right.
What's the public benefit? Someone's listening and they're on Facebook and they're going, oh my goodness, they already did this. This had terrible results. What's in it for me if they allowed all this information to go out? My information, anonymized granted, but my information to go out, well, how's it going to benefit me?
Right. So this basically lets social scientists who study the pressing issues of the day access to this internal information that we didn't know before. So in theory, we could understand better how does fake news spread? And if we understand that, we can understand how to counter it better. We can understand how does social media impact polarization in society? These are huge societal questions that without kind of a rigorous and independent understanding of it, it's really hard to understand how to address them, assuming these are issues that you think is bad. As a journalist, I believe the spread of fake news is a bad thing. I'm happy to say that on the record. So these are all the questions that if only Facebook is looking at them internally and they don't have the external scrutiny that comes with it, a lot of us in the public and in the policy field are, you know, our politicians and our legislators are in the dark as well.
Well, will it be as useful as we might like it to? I mean, I'll argue the other side of this. If it is anonymized, I mean, you would kind of want to know whether false information, et cetera, was pushing people in perhaps key areas, key precincts in this country that influenced the election. But we won't know that, right?
They'll have some level of location-related data. They'll have some ideological affiliations depending on what people disclose. They have some information. It's not on a you with your name level, but it's at on kind of a little more aggregate one step up level from that. But in theory, and they intend this to be a global, I mean, the data set is global and they intend it, this initiative, which they're going to keep doing more and more studies from, they intend to be global relating to ongoing elections in Brazil, I'm sure they'll be looking at the midterm elections coming up.
Now, basically, you think this is a good thing. It'll be good for all of us. Any concerns?
Yeah. One thing is that this group that is kind of facilitating the this data sharing and trying to respect the needs of researchers who want the ability to publish whatever they find and the needs of Facebook, which is concerned about privacy and their proprietary information. This group is a small group, and it's going to have a big say over what gets studied. And that is both the questions that are being asked and who is asking them. And so I think there's a fair concern to say, is this group a little too U.S. focused? They're trying not to be, but they have. But the core kind of thematic committees are largely U.S. based professors, and they are currently addressing topics that we know are problems: misinformation, polarization, things like that. And so I think it's fair to say that how in the future will they address the kind of unknown or future problems, anticipate what could be going wrong?
Karen Wise, Seattle-based writer for Bloomberg Businessweek. You can also read her at Bloomberg Technology. Karen, before I let you go, you got a summer read to recommend?
I was just chatting in the green room about this. I recently read Bad Blood by John Carey of the Wall Street Journal. I think the folks coming on soon may talk about it, but it was a journalistic, true crime, corporate crime sort of thing that is just a delicious page turner.
True crime.
It's like a true beach read, if that makes sense. As a journalist, you got to put a plug in for nonfiction.
Karen Wise, thanks so much for joining us. And stick around. We're going to be talking about your favorite summer reads. Maybe you've got one. Tweet it at us, at KUOW. This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds.